Hey, a couple things. I'm just trying to tell you what's going to go on next week, keep you ahead. You know that the exam is coming up again, the second exam on the 21st. Please print out the exam that's on the course or on the website. You should be able by now to probably do half of it at least, okay? There's a huge area of Meselson-Stahl's experiment that was non-multiple choice last semester that could help you, and I think if you get a head start on it, you'll be better off. We're going to be doing the Sordaria lab on Tuesday. You will probably want to read ahead on that because he's not going to be discussing that in lecture prior. And then you'll also have a 5-point assignment. I will probably give you something like chromosomes are 2n equals 6. Please draw them in this stage, this stage, this stage, etc. Okay, so that's one more little 5-point assignment that you'll be getting. Thursday you'll have another quiz. Okay, we wouldn't want to let you sleep or anything. And that will be over what he does next, which I believe is transcription and translation, and will also be over the Sordaria lab. And today, we're going to end with a quiz, so you guys will have a chance to ask any questions that you might have. And I'm ending with the quiz because we're going to do the chromosome dance, which I think will help you for the quiz prior to that, hopefully. But before that, I want to go over a couple things that you need before we actually start the chromosome dance. And that involves genetic recombination. And what does recombination mean? If I say there's recombination, Megan?
Isn't that when the chromosomes overlap?
Could be. That's called what? Okay, crossing over. And when does that occur? Which phase?
Prophase
1. Okay, so you could get crossing over and that would lead to recombination. Can you think of another way you can get recombination? Something that's not like the parent.
Mutation.
Okay, mutation, but something naturally occurring with the chromosomes.
A mixture of the paternal genes.
Okay, good. I just want to illustrate that for you. I'll use the same alleles that we used on Tuesday. And let me just say, we've got dad here, and you had A and B. Okay, so I'll just say he's big A, big B. It's just small. And he mates with mom, who's little A, little B. Okay, these are unreplicated chromosomes or unduplicated, which means they're probably in G1. They need to go through the S phase. Fertilization occurs, okay, and they'll be brought together. And it's just random where they're going to go, okay, at this point, because they're unduplicated. Once they duplicate, if we're talking about meiosis, what happens? Okay, if they're duplicated, what happens next in prophase 1? Okay, homologous chromosomes are going to pair. So I'll just draw them paired. And this is just one option of the way they could be paired. And what I'm trying to show you is that genetic recombination can occur through something called independent assortment. And that's just a fancy way of saying random alignment of chromosomes at metaphase. And you should be able to follow this through. If this was, call it metaphase 1, picture anaphase 1, okay, and you'd get a cell, and telophase, cytokinesis 1, you'd get a cell with big A, big B, and you'd have another daughter cell with little A, little B. If you can follow that through post meiosis 2, okay, you should realize that you get 4 daughter cells, okay, that one would have a big A, big B. So would the other. And then you'd have 2 daughter cells that just had little A, little B in them. This is after meiosis 2. And what do you notice about the way they look, these daughter cells? Okay, they're haploid. That was right. And they also look like the parents, the original parents. And we call these parentals for obvious reasons, okay? We just get AB like dad, little a, little b like mom. So these are called parentals. And there's been no recombination there, okay? But equally likely, since this is just the nucleoplasm and these things are floating around, you could have had big A assort with little b, okay? Or vice versa. So now, post-meiosis two, you'd get something quite different. You'd have a cell with big A, little b, and little a, big b. Okay, and they look different from the parents, okay? You could assign any traits you wanted, but they don't look like either parent, and for that reason, they're called recombinants. So you guys should understand the distinction. First of all, understand why this is random, okay? It's just random alignment in this fluid, the nucleoplasm, that can't distinguish who's lining up with who, okay? If independent assortment occurs, it's just as likely that you're gonna get the same number of parentals as recombinants, okay? Why do we want recombinants? Why is that important? Why do we care? Okay, variation, and that'll become important for evolution down the road. Okay, so that's independent assortment. Understand that you can get recombination through independent assortment. Alternatively, we could show crossing over, okay? And what that would look like is, let's say you had a reciprocal exchange between the A gene on chromatids 2 and 3, okay? What that would look like would be something like this. These were not involved, so they stay the same. And you should be able to follow this through and see why you wouldn't get all parentals here. Okay, so after meiosis two, just picture this, you end up with four daughter cells. One with big A, big B, little a, big B, big A, little b, and little a, little b. Okay. And this would be a parental type, these two would be recombinants, and that would be a parental. If crossing over occurs, it doesn't occur all the time, okay? And so far we've just drawn one gene on a chromosome, but there are hundreds. So you could picture a crossover at any locus, okay? It may happen at one locus and not at another. So with crossing over, you always get fewer recombinants than you do parentals, okay? With independent assortment, it's a 50-50 valence. Okay, any questions on that? This is going to be real important next week when you start to do genetics problems. Okay. Good? Okay, one last thing before we actually fill in a table that we're going to go around the room and discuss. Sometimes there are errors that occur in meiosis, particularly meiosis one, okay? And those errors may happen early, late metaphase, more particularly anaphase one, okay, when the chromosomes are supposed to separate and maybe they don't, okay. So if there's an error in meiosis, and I'll just put in parentheses because it's most common in anaphase one. This is called non-disjunction, and what it means is the chromosomes don't separate properly, okay? And non-disjunction, the reason I bring this up is because there's a table in your book we're gonna fill out next that mentions non-disjunction. It's most common in meiosis one and a phase one. And what that might look like is, let's just say it's time for anaphase one to occur. You're used to 1A chromosome going in one direction, the other direction. Let's just say an error occurs, and both A's go to the left side of my cell, and no A's go to the right. Okay, so I'd end up with cells after telophase one that were diploid for the A allele. Okay, so this cell would be diploid for the A allele, and you know that's not what usually happens, okay? And this cell would have no A allele. That's called non-disjunction. This cell would die. This cell could persist. Imagine this being haploid, okay, undergoing a second meiosis. Maybe this is an egg. Sperm fertilizes it. Dad gives his copy of A to the egg and his copy of B. And now you have a trisomy, okay? You have three copies of the A chromosome, and many times that's fatal, okay? In human situations, that's how Down syndrome comes about. We have three copies of chromosome 21, and those individuals tend to be fine. The other two chromosomes, 13 and 18, that this more frequently happens to, those individuals, most of them will die before puberty, okay? So this is non-disjunction, and typically it occurs during meiosis one. Okay, before we do the chromosome dance, in your course packs, there's a table that I'd like you to fill out. We've already talked quite extensively about the difference between mitosis, meiosis one, and meiosis two. Now, without looking at your notes, and this should help pretty extensively for the quiz too, just try to fill in the table, and we'll go around the room and see how you did. Yeah, right. No, I'll go get one though, because mine's filled in, and that would be cheating. So try to fill these out. I'll go get you a copy, and we'll go around the room. And how I want this to run is, let's say Joel says, generates two diploid cells from a diploid, and he says meiosis one. If that's wrong, jump on him, okay, and tell him why that's wrong, okay? And you guys figure it out and let each other know what's wrong versus me telling you. Okay, let's try that. I'll be right back. I don't know if you want to pause here. It's old though.
It's okay, all right.
Yeah, it's from last semester, so I don't think they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing? Hmm?
Are there any differences?
No. All right. Can I steal this for one second and make a copy?
Two.
This is discussion, guys. You're supposed to have this. Actually, Yes, just because there are hardly any men. You guys ready? Yeah? Okay. How about if we start with Aaron and just go around the room, read your question, and then say what you think. And if you think Aaron's wrong or anyone's wrong, tell them.
Oh, yeah, I got a question. Can it be more than one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Generates two diploid cells from a diploid cell. After mitosis, and after she asked that question, I'm thinking meiosis too, because it's the same as mitosis.
What do you start with, though, in meiosis too?
Haploid.
Right. Okay, so you end with haploids too. So just mitosis. Everybody agree on that? Okay, so remember, you have to start out diploid in meiosis, but after meiosis one, you have two daughter cells that are haploid already. Okay, those two daughter cells undergo a further reduction division to produce four haploids. Okay?
Generates two haploid cells from a diploid.
Meiosis one. Okay, she sounds confident. That's your final answer. Everybody agree?
Yeah, no.
No? Okay, somebody thinks it's also meiosis too?
No.
Okay, Maria's right. You get two haploid cells from a diploid cell. Why isn't it meiosis two?
You get four.
And what do you start with?
Haploid.
Okay, you start with a haploid. Remember, it's diploid at the beginning, then haploid, haploid. Okay? So it's just meiosis one.
Generates two haploid cells from a haploid cell.
Mitosis
too.
Okay, everybody agree with that?
Mitosis.
Okay, mitosis. Remember that haploids can undergo mitosis as well, so don't forget that. You start out haploid, you make two haploids. And you have drawings. Sorry?
Is it both of them or just mitosis?
Both of them. Mitosis and meiosis too.
If I make choices, which kind of cells like would give me a diploid? Because you know how, like how could it be a diploid in that for mitosis?
Okay, remember the drawings that I gave? Let's just say I'll just use two alleles.
Well, like for prokaryote, it would be the two haploid cells, right? Or it just differs from like.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be prokaryotic. On fungus, there are many fungus that are haploid other lives, like Sordaria is. But if you picture, okay, this is a haploid. Let's just say it has one chromosome, okay? And it can go through mitosis. There's metaphase, it's lined up. Okay, here's anaphase. Okay, and then telophase cytokinesis would produce two haploids. Okay, so any ploidy can undergo mitosis. It's meiosis that you need the homologous pairing on multiple of two.
Is that for one and two?
Sorry?
Is that for one and two? Just haploid? And meiosis one and two?
Well, this was, wait, where are we here? Two haploids from a haploid. Mm-hmm. So that's mitosis and meiosis two. Okay.
Homologous chromosomes separated during anaphase.
Anybody agree? Disagree?
Disagree.
Why?
Meiosis one.
Okay, meiosis one. You don't have homologous chromosomes at meiosis two anymore, remember, because the homologs have separated out and meiosis two is similar to mitosis. Okay, so the homologs don't pair anymore. So it's just meiosis one. Okay, anybody want to add anything to that?
Mitosis.
Okay, so remember sister chromatids will separate during anaphase. They won't during meiosis 1, anaphase 1, okay, but they do in meiosis 2, anaphase 2.
Okay, sister chromatids are not necessarily identical. Meiosis 1 and 2.
And why might they not be identical? From how?
Crossing over.
Okay, good. Everybody agree with that? Meiosis 1 and meiosis 2, you might have non-identical.
When does crossing over occur?
Prophase 1, meiosis 1. Okay.
Sister chromatids are identical. Mitosis and meiosis 1.
Yeah, they could be identical. If no crossing over occurs, sure, they could be identical. I mean, actually, it could be all three, as long as no crossing over, no recombination occurs. But you know they're identical, absolutely, in mitosis for sure. Okay, there's never any crossing over in mitosis. So that's kind of an arbitrary. Okay.
DNA replicates prior to prophase, but mitosis and meiosis one.
Okay. Everybody agree with that? That you have replication, the S phase prior to mitosis and meiosis 1?
Yeah.
Why what? Why not be? Okay, think of what you end up with after meiosis 1. You end up with haploids, but they're duplicated already, right? They're still duplicated because the centromere has not divided. Okay, so they wouldn't duplicate again. You're trying to reduce the amount of genetic information during meiosis 2. Okay, and that is what happens.
So the answer is mitosis and meiosis 1?
Right.
DNA does not replicate prior to prophase. That's how meiosis 2.
Okay. So anybody disagree? Wants to admit it? No? Okay.
Crossing over can occur after meiosis 1. Actually.
Want to take something back?
Not meiosis 2.
Okay. Yeah, just meiosis 1. Why can't it occur during meiosis 2?
Because I don't have homologous chromosomes.
Right. There's only one copy. They're haploid then. There's no homolog to pair with and cross with.
Non-disjunction can occur. I put meiosis 1.
Okay. Nobody would disagree with that, right? Since you just learned about non-disjunction.
Centromeres divide. I put mitosis. And I think, does it happen in meiosis too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does everybody like that? No. Centromeres don't divide. Remember, why don't they? Why? Right. The spindle fiber is only attached on one side of the chromosome, whoever asked that. So they can't. It just pulls one chromosome that way and one the other way, unless non-disjunction occurs. Okay.
Individual chromosomes align at equatorial length during metaphase. I said mitosis and meiosis 2.
Okay. Both mitosis and meiosis 1, because they're, I'm sorry, 2, because they're lining up single file.
Homologous pairs of chromosomes align at the equatorial plate during metaphase. Meiosis 1.
Okay. Do you agree with that? Mm-hmm. Rebecca?
Occurs in somatic cells, mitosis.
Okay, somatic cells is mitosis. So, sex cells, whoa.
Occurs in sex cells, meiosis 1 and meiosis 2.
Okay, meiosis 1 and 2 are for sex cells.
Just as two daughter cells that are genetically identical to each other and to the parent. So mitosis and meiosis 2.
And what?
Meiosis 2.
We're talking the very original parent. So How does the original parent start out in meiosis? What's its ploidy?
Meiosis is haploid, right?
You want to help her out? Meiosis has to start out diploid. Why? Right, you have to have a homologous pair, okay? So you have to have two of each, so you have to at least have some, I don't know, some multiple of two. So I'm just trying to get to the final answer why it's not meiosis two. If it starts out diploid, what are your four products of meiosis? What's the ploidy of your four end products of meiosis two? They're haploid, right. So can they be identical to the original parent? No. They have half the genetic.
The original. Like the
they do. And the original is diploid.
Okay.
And so the progeny, the gametes, have half the genetic information as the parent.
Produces two daughter cells. They're
bound
to the genetic location of the
everybody agree? Okay.
Do cells either have go through mitosis or meiosis one or two?
Yeah, if you're a germ cell and you're going to become a sex cell, you undergo meiosis. Okay. If you're another type of cell in the body, you undergo mitosis.
Right, so they never go through all
of them. Actually, germ cells do. Picture this. A sperm and an egg come together, fertilization occurs. You have a single diploid zygote. Okay, it's a single cell, it's diploid. Somehow you have to grow into a multicellular being that includes the germ cells. So mitosis occurs in each of, skin cells, nerve cells, germ cells. And the germ cell starts out diploid, okay? And then when it's going to become a sperm or an egg, it goes through meiosis. But the germ cell is the only one that will go through both. Okay, well, I don't want to leave you guys out. Katrina, why is it important to ensure constancy in mitosis. Mitosis produces constant cell line identical cells. Why would that be important?
I don't understand.
It's right there. The crucial difference between mitosis and meiosis is encapsulated by the statement, mitosis is a mechanism for constancy. Okay, so if you have a liver cell, why is it important to make more liver cells? Why do you want an identical clone of cells?
Because if it's a liver cell, you wouldn't want it to be
Anyone want to help? Constancy?
For the purpose of regeneration, for instance,
bridge
skin.
Okay. Bridge is saying for regeneration, obviously, if you want a skin cell, you want that same clone of skin cells. You don't want it mutated so it's an abnormal skin cell. You don't want a liver cell growing in place of it, so you want to turn genes on that are going to express liver proteins or whatever to make a liver cell and turn those off that don't. Okay. Versus, Rashida, why would you want diversity in meiosis? Why is diversity so important?
So when you go later on down, it'll be more important later on down the.
Okay, so for evolutionary purposes, right, if everything was the same, there'd be nothing for natural selection to act on, okay? And we're going to start getting into natural selection pretty soon, pretty much after exam number two. Okay. Okay, Joel, does chance play a role in either mitosis or meiosis?
Meiosis.
Okay, and how? How is there chance?
Recombination, crossing over, non-disjunction.
Okay, crossing over, non-disjunction, or just independent assortment, just the random alignment of chromosomes, okay, during metaphase. Okay, this is a real good test for you guys to take again. And right before the exam, it should, if you can just answer these questions cold and don't have to look up in your notes, you should be pretty well prepared for the exam as long as you can draw things, okay? Okay. Hopefully hopefully this will help with the quiz as well, this little chromosome dance simulation. Basically, this is set up to illustrate human chromosomes. You guys are going to be human chromosomes. We're going to start with four unreplicated human chromosomes, and then you're going to duplicate yourselves, okay? And I've got some alleles here, being sort of sex-biased. I have big B being bad breath, little b being fresh, big C being crabby, little c being cheerful. And I don't need four men with bad breath that are crabby, but my male sperm is going to carry an allele for bad breath and a separate allele for the crabby gene, okay? Notice that these are unduplicated chromosomes at the time, and also notice that fertilization is going to occur. You guys should be able to take these chromosomes through both mitosis and meiosis and understand what happens. So it's going to be up to the individual alleles to move the way you should. And the rest of you watch the way they're moving, and if they're doing something wrong, let them know. Okay. All right. First we're going to do mitosis, which is pretty easy, and then we'll go to meiosis. So what I need is four volunteers. I need bad breath. Okay, who wants to be the bad breath allele? We don't all stand at once, right? Bad breath and crabby, I need one of each. Okay, Aaron? Which do you prefer? Okay, stand up, please. Okay, the hands are going to represent chromatids, and these sticky notes don't stick too well, but here's her crabby allele. Okay. Who's got bad breath besides me, because I had onions wrong? Okay. Bad breath. All right, who wants to be cheerful? Nobody? And cheerful. Okay. Leslie's cheerful. I can feel it. Fresh breath. Okay, Megan. Okay, these guys are unreplicated, meaning they're each double-stranded DNA molecules, but they're unreplicated. When you become replicated, your elbows are going to be the centromeres. So whoever's going to be your partner, and I can see that participation is great, you're going to join at the centromere, okay? So keep that in mind. This is our centromere, and this is the rest of our chromatids. Okay, so I need the parentals to be together. Let's see. So you guys just kind of step over there. You're the sperm, you're the eggs. Okay, come together, fertilize. Okay, you're all together in a cell, and you're still all unduplicated. Okay, you're all doing well. Now we need four more volunteers to replicate. Who wants to replicate with Megan? Fresh breath. She's getting a complex. Who wants Megan?
Nana
will. Those of you that don't volunteer now get to do meiosis, and it's much harder. Okay. Bad breath.
No, I'm so sorry.
Okay, Morgan.
Stand up.
Okay, I need a crabby and a cheerful.
Okay,
Rebecca. Okay, so are you replicated? Join at your centromeres, please.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Just as long as you can see that they can see the signs. Okay, what's going on in prophase of mitosis? Anybody? Four things.
Random.
Okay, it's random. What else? Well, that's okay. They're condensed. You can see them. You can see them under the scope. Okay, what else?
Spindle fibers form.
Okay. What else? Centrosomes go to opposite sides of the poles. Nuclear envelope disappears. Okay. Are you guys just at random in the nucleoplasm, or are you paired, or are you just there?
Here.
Okay, you're just there. Okay, these are the prophase chromosomes. All right, let's get into metaphase. Okay, are they right? Is that right? Okay, they're lined up single file, and something to notice is that they would have spindle fibers on each side of them, okay? Anaphase one. Not one, just anaphase. Non-destruction in my toes. Okay, good. So this is anaphase. Now telophase is going to occur, followed by cytokinesis. You guys are now two daughter cells. Your job is pretty much done. Show your alleles to everybody. What do you notice about these two daughter cells? Right. You guys are not only identical to each other, you're identical to the original parent. What's your ploidy? 2N equals 4. Okay, thank you very much. That was wonderful. Okay. Yeah. So for my next batch of volunteers. Okay, meiotic chromosome, same thing. I need. I need 4 people. And I'll just hand you things. All right, somebody, Loretta. I'm grabbing you now. Okay. Alicia, you're fresh. Jerry, you were up.
Nope.
Okay. We need 4 more. Okay. This is meiosis, so sperm separate from the egg, please. Okay. Fertilize, if you will. Okay, so now they're not replicated yet. Fertilization has occurred. Now we need 4 more people. Join at the centromeres. Find your partner.
This one condenses.
When I say partner, what's going on now is semi-conservative replication, where the helicase comes in, unwinds, brings in all that stuff, brings in the bases. When the homologous chromosomes find a partner, that's when like chromosomes pair. So there will be, watch this. Okay. All right. We're in prophase one now. So what should be going on?
Condensing.
You're condensed. Spindles. Your centrosomes are out here. Nuclear envelope's gone. What else?
Oh, homologous.
Okay. Homologous chromosomes pair. So do it. It's up to you to figure out who's homologous. What does homologous mean?
The same.
Carrying the same genes, right? So I have the breath gene, whether it's bad or good, and I have the mood gene, whether it's bad or good. Those are homologs, okay? So cheerful is paired with crabby, fresh is paired with bad, okay? Now, typically, you guys are so close together that there's you can't even distinguish between the 4 of you. I won't make you do that yet. Okay, so prophase one, your pair. Get into metaphase one, please. Okay, is this good?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, the homologous pairs have lined up. Where are my spindle fibers? There would be a spindle fiber here on Natasha's arm and here on Naomi's arm. And poor Felicia and Loretta have no spindle fibers, so therefore they can't. They're just very close together. And they're not going to be pulled apart from their partner, ultimately. Okay?
She wouldn't have a spindle fiber, just...
Oh, Bridget does, too. Oh. Yeah, I was just using the front row. Yeah, Bridget would have one, and Joel would have one. But in between, poor Jerry. Bryant, no. Okay. Okay, so anaphase one. Okay, since these 4 had no spindle fiber,
don't
they...
Don't stay. I mean,
they
stay.
In the middle, don't they?
No,
you guys are going to opposite poles, okay? But you can't detach because you had the 4 of you had no spindle fiber. That's very sad. So you have to go with your neighbor.
And that's
okay.
Because of the spindle fiber.
Oh, you have a kinetic core.
But it's on this side, though.
No, your kinetic core is here.
So
it's over
it's
here.
Still, it's still going through like my side too. Like it's going through, like the spindle fiber is not staying in his side. It's like going all the way through.
It can't. It's just staying on his side. Yeah, because you guys were so close together that there's no room for it
but
to get.
Central mirrors haven't dissolved yet.
Is that
right?
Okay.
Right. Central mirrors haven't divided. That's why you're still attached.
So the central mirrors aren't being attached.
Right. Yeah. Everybody has a kinetic core. That's not the problem. Okay. The problem is the spindle fiber attachment. Okay. So meiosis one would occur. Be over, telophase one, cytokinesis one, and you'd end up with two daughter cells. How do they look, those daughter cells? What alleles do you guys have? Oh, you guys ended up identical, but it didn't have to be that way, did it? No, because Bryant and Joel could have been over here, Jerry and Bridget could have been over there, and then they would look recombinant, right? What's their ploid?
2N.
4N.
No.
What is whose
ploidies?
This whole cell like this?
This whole cell and this whole cell.
2N.
How many mood genes, mood chromosomes do you have? How many breath chromosomes do you have?
I can think of reasons.
1N equals 2. And that's because the centromere didn't divide. These are still duplicated to chromosomes, okay? So don't forget that. You start out diploid after meiosis 1, you're two haploids, okay? Now you guys need to go through meiosis 2. So get in prophase 2. There you are. Okay. Metaphase 2. Anaphase 2. Okay, cytokinesis, telophase 2. Now we have four daughter cells that look how? Different because they have half the genetic information as the original unreplicated parent, and it just so happens that they all lined up together, so we don't really have any recombinants per se here, but we could have because it's random. Okay, now if you'll just get back together with your homolog one more time, I just want to show crossing over. Get back where metaphase 1. Okay, now I want just Jerry and Bryant to cross over. So just swap tags. Yeah, or swap sides, whichever you want to do.
What do you want to do, man?
God,
it's not that hard.
Okay, anaphase 1. Okay, cytokinesis, you're haploid. Okay, now just go through meiosis 2. Show me the end products of meiosis 2. Okay, good. Now, Natasha and Joel have bad breath and they're crabby, okay? That looked just like Dad, right? Okay. Loretta has bad breath, but Brian's cheerful. Is that parental or recombinant?
Recombinant.
Okay, that's recombinant, okay? Felicia has fresh breath, Jerry's crabby. Parental or recombinant?
Recombinant.
And then Bridget's cheerful and Naomi's got fresh breath, so those were parental, okay? I think you can visualize what would happen with non-disjunction, okay, if you'll all get back together one more time with your homologs. Okay, non-disjunction. We're going to have Bryant and Jerry separate, but we're going to have Felicia and Naomi come over here, okay? Okay, so now poor Jerry and Bridget are going to die because they are going to be in a cell with just one chromosome, and they're missing the entire second chromosome that they need with all the proteins, okay?
We have Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So these guys, fertilization is going to occur, right? We'll just call you an egg. Fertilization is going to occur, and now I have bad breath. Okay, so there's three of us, and my homolog does too. Now we have three alleles for bad breath, and therefore it's called a trisomy for three. And that's not too devastating. We just go with bad breath for the rest of our lives, okay? But that's non-disjunction, where somebody ends up with none, okay, and somebody ends up with
doesn't matter that he's still
like had a crossing. No, that's fine. You can have non-disjunction with crossing over, whatever. Okay, thank you, chromosomes. You did an excellent job. So hopefully, try to visualize that because you guys seem to know what you're doing. And if you can visualize what's supposed to be happening, that's sometimes helpful for the exam. But first for the quiz, okay? You know what's on it. There's all the Cricut Lab. Cricut Lab's on it. DNA replication, Messels and Stahl, the experiments, Hershey Chase, Avery Griffith. Mitosis, meiosis. Okay, after meiosis one, what is diploidy? Okay. The question is, what's diploidy after meiosis one? One N could equal any. One N could equal 10. Okay. Sperm cells, 1N equals 23 in humans. Okay, there are 23 different chromosomes in a sperm, but there's only one copy of each. Okay, so you started out with 46, and after meiosis 1, you'd have two daughter cells that each have 23 different chromosomes.
How many genes are on one chromosome?
Typically about 100. Okay, and that's sort of about 100, 150. It's kind of a ballpark figure for how many genes are on a chromosome. Yeah, and one thing we've done is we've just done unlinked genes. But keep in mind, you could have A, B, C, D that are all linked, and crossing could occur at any point on the chromatid. So you may see crossing over with respect to one locus, but not the other 23. Okay.
So then N represents the copy of each chromatid?
Chromosome. Yeah. Don't even use chromatids in this class, because it'll confuse you, I think, more than anything. Just know, this is a chromosome that's unreplicated. This is a chromosome that is replicated.
So when you're doing the diploidy, or like just whatever diploidy, you go by the letters, like, so if it's A, whether they're large or small, that's considered like one kind.
Right.
Yeah. So then, like, if you have, say, you have one chromosome with a big A and another one with little A, but they're not like replicated, then you say two N. What if it's replicated? Maybe like replicated with A's and replicated with
A's. Then it's still 2N.
It's still 2N.
Yeah, okay, what's the diploidy of this cell? There's two of each kind of chromosome. Sure, there's three different kinds, okay, but there's two of each. Okay, so don't get that confused. This would be 2N equals what?
Six.
Okay, so ploidy, the N, means number of different chromosomes. If there's one of each different chromosome, it would be haploid. Okay, if there's two of each different chromosomes, it would be diploid. Triploid, I'd have to have three of each. And you don't want to see that. That only happens in plants, usually, and they live to tell about it. Okay. Okay. Tash.
What's important about the Cricut Lab?
Oh, well, you should be able to put any of the substrates with any of the enzymes and tell me what would happen.
Sorry. Well, I can't remember exactly what those substrates do.
Okay.
Well, that was the first exam. Yeah. Okay. Glucose is a substrate for what? Glycolysis. In order for glycolysis to happen, where does it happen? What do you need?
Cytosol.
So if I put glucose with whole homogenate, could glycolysis happen?
Yes.
Could respiration?
Yes.
Does everybody understand why both those processes could occur? Okay. Did anybody say no? Okay. Glucose plus supernatant. Could glycolysis occur?
Yes.
Why?
Because.
Okay, so glycolysis could occur. Could respiration?
No.
Why not?
No
mitochondria. Okay, you know this. Glucose plus pellet. Can glycolysis occur?
No.
Why not?
No
cytosol. No cytosol. Could respiration?
Yes.
No. Why?
What?
Because don't you have to say glycolysis before you go to respiration?
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't have pyruvate or succinate, which is a pyruvate substitute, then you can't go through respiration. So this tube could do nothing. Okay, and the only other thing you have to worry about is succinate. Succinate plus whole homogenate. Any glycolysis? What? No glucose? Any respiration?
Yes.
Okay, succinate plus supernatant, glycolysis?
Yes.
No. Why not? No glucose? Respiration?
No.
No mitochondria. Okay, so nothing there. And lastly, succinate plus pellet, glycolysis?
No.
Respiration?
Yes.
Okay, so if you can keep that straight, I think you're...
You said pyruvate is a glucose substitute?
Pyruvate. Wait, I'm sorry?
What is pyruvate substitute?
Succinate is a pyruvate substitute.
Okay.
Glucose is broken down into pyruvate, which feeds directly into the Krebs cycle for respiration. Okay, so but you could substitute anything in the Krebs cycle for pyruvate, and it would work. Okay? Good? All right. You're good with everything. You're ready.
No.
Bring it on.
The experiments.
No. Oh, no.
Let's have a summary of all.
No. Okay. Experiments. Anything specific?
Griffiths was the S cell and the R cell.
Okay, you inject the mouse.
The rat, sorry.
Yeah.
Mouse, whatever.
You inject the mouse with S, what happens?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
they
had
pathogen.
It had
capsule.
Okay, it contracts pneumonia and dies. Okay, mouse plus R cell. Does it have a capsule?
No.
Is it virulent? Does it cause pneumonia?
No.
Does the mouse die with it?
No.
Heat killed S. What's heat killing do to the S strain?
Breaks up the
capsule, basically destroys the cell wall, so it's just naked DNA in solution. And what happens to the mouse?
It lives.
Okay, it lives. Nothing's wrong with it. So alone, live R didn't kill the mouse. Alone, heat killed S doesn't kill the mouse. Why does a combination of the two kill the mouse?
Transformation.
Okay, transformation occurs, and what's being transformed to what?
The S.
R is transformed to S.
Okay, so basically, something from the S is getting into R, transforming it to becoming S, and killing the mouse. Did they conclude anything more than that?
No.
No. Okay. And then it took Avery. What did Avery do to a purified solution?
Took the chemical from that DNA.
Okay. You take DNase. Okay. That kills DNA. And if DNase wipes out the DNA, do you see transformation occurring?
No.
What about protease that kills the protein? Okay, still transforms, and therefore, what did Avery conclude?
DNA
is
a transforming.
Okay, DNA is a transforming principle and not protein. And protein is so much more complex. There are 20 amino acids. There are various ways, millions of ways to hook them up. So it was disputed, pretty heavily debated, that DNA, which was much more simple, could be that important for the genetic material. Okay? Good? Okay. Do you guys need to? It's quiz time, so
okay.